When the Lord wants to talk to you about it, you're not necessarily reading in that place, but he just starts, you know, getting through to you. And I realized that it was going to be a few more words than what I thought. So I jotted it down, and a lot of this, there could be some mess-ups in here, because some of this I was doing just moments before we left the house. But it's called Sown into Death. And it's the example of David. I know all of you know that, and I'll read the scriptures, but it's in 2 Samuel. In fact, you could just turn there. 2 Samuel 23. But you know the story. It's a story where David went to, he was running from Saul, and I'll read it so you'll know this, but he came close to where a garrison of Saul's men, soldiers, were guarding Bethlehem to try to catch David, just this little thing happened, but it was pretty big to the Lord. 2 Samuel 23, verse 15, let's start at verse 14. I don't know what verse this is. it starts with, "And David was then," anybody know which 14? Okay. "And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines," so it was the Philistines, it wasn't Saul, "Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, 'Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate.' And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, 'Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it.' These things did these three mighty men." You know, sometimes the thoughts of the Holy Spirit come to you, and we think that we were thinking these things, but I wasn't. I wasn't even in the neighborhood of it. But it just began to kind of show me this thing, as I said, that's sort of entitled Sown into Death. Sown into Death. And so I'm just going to read it. Because we don't have much time. Here we have the situation of David turning his blessing into a drink offering. It was sown into death. It was his blessing. That's important to realize because, you know, well, I don't want to talk too much. It was the desire of his heart to have that water. It would have pleased him, refreshed him during his time of rejection. In running for his life, he could have rebelled against Jesus first. That's the way I had to jot it down real quick. And drawn strength in their willingness to lay down their lives for him. But though those things were at work in him and are what initiated the trip into Bethlehem, and the danger to his own men, yet he could not let that stand. He could not go along with it. He got into it, you know. I mean, he got into it. And it didn't say that here, but that was kind of a common thing with David. You find out that the Lord smote his conscience. Like with Saul, when he would cut his garment and, you know, all that. And he's going, "Man, I can't do this. Man, why can't we be that way?" You know what I mean? Really? Really? But he could not let it stand. All had to be for the Lord and not himself. Even though begun for himself, right? begun for himself. At least he caught himself, you know. Praise God. I think that's a big deal, personally. Love constrained him that if one died for all, then he was dead. In other words, he's going, what am I doing? What am I thinking? He stepped out of his struggling world into God's heart. He refused to use the love that God put in their hearts for himself as a means of personal gratification or gain. See, now we would go, well, the Lord put that love in their heart, so, you know, this is for me. You know, I'm struggling financially. The Lord knows. And so they went to Bethlehem and got some cash. But he couldn't do it. And David began to see through the cross that there could be something higher than just satisfying himself through God's gracious care. Now, isn't that kind of a different angle that we're looking at here? Maybe we're not all in that same place, so maybe this isn't, you know, I think this is probably more what the Lord's saying for this year. But I think I just felt like it was pulling on my heartstrings, whether I'm there or not, that even God's gracious care And us in despair, sorry that I'm rhyming, can God's gracious care and my, you know, desperation looks like this is the way I should go and is kind of the way it's taught in much of Christianity. But then I see in David and I see him making an offering, a drink offering, out of what was God's blessing by pouring it out unto the Lord. He would now see to it that no one would enjoy it but God. Because it was an offering. See, it wasn't just water. God's not going, well, that's good water. That's cool. It's an offering, see. But because of the prevailing view of how Christian things should go, maybe no one would make sense of his actions but God. And that makes sense too, doesn't it? Man, you know. His men could be offended that they risked their lives for him, but David just poured it out on the ground. He didn't explain himself either. And I think there's a lot of big stuff here. You know, we would have to explain, oh, no, no, you know, I'm really with the Lord on this, you know, guys, don't be offended. You know, but these guys must have known his heart for the Lord. I mean, they were with him all the time, and they'd seen him in so many different situations, and he's constantly bringing forth the Lord. So maybe they understood, or maybe they didn't, because it just doesn't say. So that last sentence was long. Oh, here it is. His men could be offended that they risked their lives for him, but David just poured it out on the ground. What a waste. Oh, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? What a waste. But what if in his heart he didn't pour it out on the ground? What if he poured it out upon the Lord's feet? I mean, in his heart. So what is the real situation here? It is not just an act of kindness. It is not merely selfless giving or the act of giving up monetary satisfaction for a man's God, or giving up momentary satisfaction for his God. I'm going to give up this momentary. This seemed to be something working deeper, you know. we do many things of visitation or being a helping hand throughout our days that never test the limits of the Lamb within us, but cost us little. They are not Lamb, but us being helpful or kind. In our mind, they may substitute for the Lamb or even soothe and justify the things we regularly do that are a violation of His nature and represent, to Him, represent a wife breaking His heart. Hosea proves that this is how he sees things. But what David did was to see the breach at work in him and step away from it. How innocent these things seem to us, how small and insignificant, but how heartbreaking to him, to the Lord. David was known as a man after God's own heart. Do you believe that God sees you as one who is after his heart? That you are regularly throwing off even the slightest obstacles that keep you from reaching and touching his heart? Then why not? How could David come to such a place? It was the result of divine light from the face of the Lamb God that had radically transformed his inner being, causing another heart to guide and pour through an unworthy vessel of dirt. And that's what David really was. See, you know, it wasn't something special about him, but the Spirit of God had to touch that guy. There's no way. You don't just do that. David, in need of a break from rejection, running and hiding, could have really used that cool water from his childhood village to refresh him and help him along the hard path. But in the very midst of his seeking to get a blessing from God, he realized what was at work within him. But instead of just falling down and repenting, I love this, instead of just falling down and repenting, he turned it into an offering that would refresh God's heart. Many, if put in the same situation, would give glory to God for giving them something they desperately needed in a time of great trial and lack. The sense of refreshing and exhilaration that would come after drinking that water would cause praise to God to arise into the ears of others, as the story would be related to others for years to come and possibly for a lifetime. Let me tell you what God did to me when I was really down and out. Did for me. And David's going, he realizes there's something higher. We would tell of how sweet and cool the water was. We would point out the love of his men and when they finally noticed that he also had needs, the men noticed he had needs. So they say, well, let's do this. We would include the miracle protection provided by God so his men could get back with the water. God can merely give you something you want or something you lack in a time of need, but only loss or death, that which is sown into death, that comes out of love for the Lamb will satisfy him and stand as a memorial throughout all ages.